Welcome to our worship here at Faith. Even in the midst of a morning where it seems like the weather can't make up its mind, I'm grateful for all of God's people here who have made up their minds to be a part of God's house this morning and the worship that we're going to share. I know a lot of you, especially here at 8 o'clock, most of you seem to come in right here down the center. If you've come in on the sides, you've taken a peek over there, you can see that we have now begun our Shoes for the Souls program. Again, we try to have one as we go into the fall every year. We're going to be running that probably through Labor Day weekend. And even though one of the great sources that we had to supply us with shoes that would have great prices from time to time, the Kmart in Hudson, we're losing that resource still. We have a lot of good resources out there from Walmart, and there's still a couple of Kmarts that are still in the general area that a person can use. But help us in any way that you can. And what I'm hearing again is that once again, they are looking more for the shoes that are of a slightly bigger size. Apparently, those are the students that sometimes have the greatest need. But shoes for young men or young women, whatever size that we can find, we certainly will accept all of those. Just whatever it is that a person can do, help us with that. As again, we'll run that for about the next 3 weeks. Also, I've been asked to remind, even though you guys are this is the 8 o'clock service, that there is going to be a change in our Saturday schedule. Faith Factor was supposed to be returning this coming Saturday. That will now not happen until the Saturday after Labor Day. So the services we've been doing on Saturday night, we're going to continue now through Labor Day weekend. And but then for those of you that come in at 11 o'clock, the communion arrangement that we had set up where we kind of flip-flopped what we were doing, we do that for the last time here this weekend. Once we get into 2 weeks, we will return to what we've done in the past. Executive Council is tomorrow night, but I want to bring to the attention of the council and anybody else, I had sent out a mass email and about a week ago, and I did so mostly because we really can't wait until our council meeting tomorrow night, but I have received an email that if anybody is interested in going to this president's conference, it's at Ponte Vedra Beach, Florida, at the end of September. It starts on a Thursday and then runs through Saturday morning. We'll have everybody back here in time for Saturday afternoon worship. Just let me know so that I can get you registered. I'll take care of all the details for registration, on behalf of our congregation, but the $100 rate that allows us to register, and we're going to be, you know, we've got some Thrivent Choice dollars that are going to be used for that. So don't even worry about the dollars or anything like that. Just let me know if you would like to go to that so that we can get you registered yet this weekend. That has to be done today. And I'll take whatever time I need to later today to get whoever else would like to go registered. I do need to put in a thank you for everybody that helped in any way with this year's Vacation Bible School. You worry about so many things, but it ended up coming off very, very well. But now that the Vacation Bible School is behind us, we are preparing again for the Sunday school year, and Promotion Sunday is next Sunday at our 11 a.m. service. But there will be a pancake breakfast in between the services over in the CLC. And so I'm going to have my Bible study this morning, and we're going to try to get it wrapped up in 2 weeks. We might have to run on Labor Day weekend, but we're going to have that wrapped up by Labor Day weekend. But if we have to set it aside for that pancake dinner, we will gladly do so. It has pleased Almighty God to take from this world to himself the soul of James Keebler. A member of ours, we do not have any information yet. We've reached out to the family. We have not gotten a response yet back on anything regarding funeral arrangements. We have nothing to report to you on that. But he was taken from this life this past week. He has been ill for quite some time, and the Lord has now called him home. We also want to pray this morning on behalf of Jeff Oles. That's Marison, who is hospitalized at North Bay this morning, and he is very much in need of our prayers. So we will certainly remember that. And I've got a couple more things that I'm going to just wait with until the very end of the service, and we'll take care of that then. Our order of service is a service of prayer and preaching. It does not begin with a hymn and the greeting of the peace. We move just a little further back into the service. So we're going to take a moment of silence here to prepare our hearts for worship. Please just be patient with me. It's very difficult to try to, since I'm going to have to remain seated this morning. I chose not to wear a gown. I hope that does not offend some of you, but the gown just kind of gets in the way, especially when I'm trying to use my crutches. But hopefully we'll finally get some answers this week. I've had the tests. They just haven't told me what they said yet. So let's begin with a moment of silence, and then we will begin with the invocation and opening sentences. We pray that the Lord would bless us in our worship this morning. This is the day which the Lord has made, from the rising of the sun to its setting. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Sanctify us in your truth. From the rising of the sun to its setting, glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Our gracious God has promised to hear us for Jesus' sake when we call out for pardon and peace. Let us go to him, confessing our sins, beginning with a moment of silence. Heavenly Father, we admit that we have often put our own wills ahead of yours. In our pride, we have demanded reasons from you for what has gone wrong in our lives. We have not called out to you in all humility, but have relied on our own righteousness instead of asking you for mercy and grace. We have let the turmoil of the world around us distract us from keeping our lives focused on your strong word and the salvation it proclaims. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, forgive us. By the power of your Holy Spirit, move us to paths in which we may serve you and proclaim your saving word to those who do not know your loving promises. Although God's law condemns us in our fallen condition with all our sinful thoughts, words, and deeds, he has promised that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In both body and soul may cheerfully accomplish what you want done. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The readings from Holy Scripture are appointed for the 10th Sunday after Pentecost. The Old Testament lesson is in the 38th chapter of Job. The Almighty God reminds Job of his creative power and will. Thus says the Lord, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the seas with the doors when it burst out from the womb, when I made clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed limits for it, and set bars and doors, and said, 'Thus far you shall come, and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stayed?' Have you commanded the morning since your days began, and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the skirts of the earth, and the wicked be shaken out of it? It is changed like clay under the seal, and its features stand out like a garment. From the wicked their light is withheld, and their uplifted arm is broken. Have you entered into the springs of the sea, or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been revealed to you, or have you seen the gates of deep darkness? Have you comprehended the expanse of the earth? Declare if you know all this. This is the word of the Lord." The epistle lesson is in the 10th chapter of Romans. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. St. Paul writes, "For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, 'Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven?' That is to bring Christ down. Or, 'Who will descend into the abyss?' That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, 'Everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame.' For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are they to call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news.' But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us?' So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Long ago, at many times and in various ways, God spoke to the forefathers by the prophets. But now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son."
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter. Jesus invites Peter to walk to him on the water. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the gospel of our Lord. We speak together now the words of the Ten Commandments. "You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." God's grace, mercy, and peace be with you through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Even as we're going to be talking about Jesus walking on the water and the mission that we have of being asked to come to Jesus, who comes first into our hearts, remember these words again from our second lesson from Romans chapter 10. The word is near you, in your heart, in your mouth. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. You may be seated. Friends, there are Sundays that we get to share with Jesus. Some things that it would be very, very nice. For example, when Jesus went up on the mountaintop to pray, well, we don't necessarily, and certainly not down here, try to find a mountain. But to be able to take that same opportunity, even as he can spend the whatever time he needs to, praying on behalf of each of us. So also, that is something that we can share in. But it seems like there are some things that Jesus does that we'll just never be able to grasp. And one of those is today, where Jesus is walking on the water. Now, I could just as easily have said, hopefully, that we're not doing a lot of our activities at 3 o'clock in the morning, because this is about when that took place. Now, just so we give a little perspective here, this event occurred the overnight after when Jesus fed the 5,000. Quite a filled 24 hours there. Jesus feeds 5,000 people and more with 5 loaves and 2 small fish. And then again, it was the fourth watch of the night, about 3 a.m. A storm arises. The boat is tossed by furious wind and waves. They're the type of storms that would come up every once in a while on the Sea of Galilee. Just, I guess it's because of the way that the land is up there. And so in the midst of all of this, we see the reaction of the disciples, especially as Jesus went out to them walking on the water. But whatever it is that they see, they're not used to seeing. And you notice their first reaction, filled with fear and terror, troubled, crying out, "It is a ghost." But Jesus was there to comfort them. "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Be of good cheer. It is I." And those are words that sometimes we need to hear as well. Jesus reminding, now, we can be afraid of a lot of things in life, but don't be. I'm there. I am with you. I am there to help you. Now, as usual, how the other 11 disciples responded to that, whether that settled them down, it's hard to say. But Peter, doing what only Peter can do, whether he wanted proof or whatever, he called back, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come out to you on the water." And Jesus says, "Come." So Peter gets out of the boat. And in what had to be one of the great acts of faith, we see Peter walking on the water. He begins to walk on the water towards Jesus, but it is dark. The wind and the waves are still there. And I can only imagine that the darkness kind of heightened the sense of how dangerous that situation can be. And when Peter took his eyes off of Jesus, he began to sink and he cried out, "Jesus, save me." And Jesus immediately grabs him by the hand. And as soon as they get into the boat, the entire storm, just that quickly, ceases. And their response is two things. First of all, they said, "Truly you are the Son of God." And for us, that's where it has to start. Because, you see, hopefully there are some lessons that we are going to learn from walking on the water. And the first is that we are sent on a mission. We are sent on a mission understanding that Jesus Christ truly is the Son of God. He has made us his own in the waters of holy baptism and has given to us a special command. Whereas he has called to us, has gone and sought us, now we, in the power that has been given to him, go and make disciples of all nations by baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, with a reminder that surely he will be with us to the very end of the age. Now, we've heard the Great Commission many times, but I'm not so sure that we've always learned all the right lessons in being sent. It's not easy, and we get that. But I think we have to be reminded that, yeah, we're sent out. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. The recipient isn't always as anxious as the one sharing the message. There's a story of a Boy Scout who showed up for his scout meeting, and he was late. And the scoutmaster was a little perturbed. He said, "Where have you been?" And the young boy said, "Well, I was out trying to do my good deed for the day. I was trying to help an old lady across the street." And the scoutmaster says, "Well, what took you so long?" "She didn't want to cross the street." Well, sometimes that's what we run into. The recipient isn't always as anxious. But, you know, there, having said that, there is a certain, when the love of Jesus that is in our hearts is there, and it is obvious, and it is clear that that's what drives our hearts, they may not be as anxious to begin with, but it is amazing what God has given us to be able to do. God is not going to send us out empty. God is going to give us all the tools that we need. Now, we still live in a dangerous world, or as I say, you know, the water is still wet. And I talk about Red Cross swimming lessons are not always readily available. When I was young, it just took me a long time to start learning the techniques that are necessary so that you could start moving up the levels of in the Red Cross. And even though I had taken lessons in years before, for 5 years, there's this form that you have to fill out. And if you haven't passed even the first level of swimming lessons, you have got to check the first check mark, which says, "I cannot swim." And even though I spent some time and was getting better and better all the time, I had to keep checking, "I cannot swim." Well, you would think that if anybody would know how to swim back in those days, it would have been those fishermen. But clearly, such things were not available. The only time we ever hear about the disciples, you know, actually being in the water is when the water was shallow enough they could jump out of the boat and then kind of haul the net to shore. But clearly, we face dangers. There are things that we have to understand, that, and the dangers out there come not necessarily from deep water or storms, but the storms that happen in our life. The temptations and lures from the devil, the world, and our sinful selves. And let's be honest, fear and doubt are often closer to our normal than is confidence, than is faith. You know, as we were preparing for Vacation Bible School, there were a lot of hoops that we had to jump through. And part of it was just annoying because there are things we'd never had to do before, but part of it was that we've never done it this way before. Once we overcame that, it was amazing just how the moments and the times were blessed by the Lord. You can worry about weather. We can worry about so many things. But ultimately, the Lord gives to us the faith and the confidence to bring that faith to others. So let's ask ourselves just a couple of questions that as we are being sent forth. What am I doing in my everyday life to teach and share the gospel, the love of Christ? We make time for ourselves. We make time to get ourselves ready in the morning. We make time to clean the house. We make time to prepare meals. We make time to do laundry. We make time to make sure that we're getting enough rest, or hopefully we do. We make time for a lot of things, but have we ever thought about, do I spend any time? And that time doesn't have to be spent amongst others. That time can just as easily be spent growing and learning yourself in the good news about Jesus Christ. But is it something that, I mean, is I got to make sure I get this done and I get that done? Do we ever think about that? Hopefully we do. But maybe we don't. Along with that, it has gotten to the point where it's getting difficult to believe that there isn't someone in our life's corner, in our domain, if you will, who needs to have shared with them the love of Christ. I could wish that the love of Christ was everywhere and that all we would ever have to do is just kind of, whenever we would talk to somebody, we can share what has already been shared with them and kind of go back and forth. But, In everybody's life anymore, there are people that desperately need to hear it. And then finally, what could I do different to aid in this? You know, if we get ourselves into certain patterns, and we are reminded at the beginning of a school year that we kind of like that. Even if the routine is virtually manic the entire school year, it seems there's never enough time. It seems you're always off to someplace. The days are long, the nights are short, and yet we prefer the routine rather than just the kind of all the stuff that goes on in summer that you just never know what's going to happen and when. Well, maybe as we set up a routine again for the year, what could I do different that would aid in that? A couple of other quick lessons from walking on the water. Our Lord is praying, and he's praying for us. Now, yes, he was on the mountaintop, and he had many things to pray for, but now he is in heaven praying for us. And there's a couple of passages from the letter to the Hebrews that I'd like to share. First, from 7:25, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Now that he has ascended to the right hand of God, his throne on high, that's what he does. He takes our prayers, he takes our requests, he takes them to God the Father, and he says, you can answer these prayers on behalf of this person, because I died for them, and they believe in me. Then also here is this another one from Hebrews 9:24. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Just think about that. The gathering in the kingdom of heaven as the Lord God is giving Corden, in the midst of all of that, your name. You who are brought, who have been, well, whatever it is that our life has been. And they're talking about you. And since Jesus has died for all of your sins, there's no sins left to talk about. Just who you are and what you have done and been in the kingdom of God. That's a wonderful thing to think about. And yet still, even with that knowledge, we do know that we live on a troubled sea. And make no mistake that the sea of life is trouble. And we have distresses that come from all kinds of sources. Distress because of personal and family conditions. Sometimes things that are in our control, but sometimes things that are not. Things that leave us confused. Things that leave us where sometimes it is hard to focus on anything else. We have distress because of what I call reality conditions. Things where sometimes we have made trouble for ourselves. And the reality that we have to face now is going to have to be very different. You know, over here this is a cross that was used for Vacation Bible School. If you come up and take a look at it, there's all these band-aids that are on this cross. And they're on there because during Vacation Bible School, everyone was asked, okay, think of something in your own life that it's not good. It may be of your own doing, but it is your reality. Write it on this band-aid, and then we're going to put that band-aid on the cross, because that is what Jesus died on the cross for. The reality and our reality conditions. And it doesn't help that sometimes the church conditions, you know, through the decades and even centuries, we have been our own worst enemy. We are asked to carry forward the things that we're supposed to do as poor, miserable sinners that sometimes are more comfortable getting in our own way and confiscating what needs to be done rather than focusing on the mission of the Lord. So be it. He still calls upon us to carry out the work of the Lord. And so we will. And so we must. Yes, the sea of life is troubled, but we are given a couple of assurances. In the world, you will have tribulation. As I've said many times before, that's more than just trouble. It is a huge mess everywhere you may turn, but be of good cheer. Because also, no matter where you turn, is Jesus who has overcome the world. And then the words that from which Martin Luther wrote the hymn, A Mighty Fortress. God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Yes, my friends, the sea of life may be troubled, but we have the most precious thing of God. The word that is near you, that is in your heart and in your mouth, that is the word of faith that we proclaim, because if you believe, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, at this time, we'll receive our offerings. If you've not yet filled out the Faith Fellowship cards, please do so. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord. For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord. For guests in worship today, that Christ bless their lives in hearing of the word with faith, in understanding and joy, let us pray to the Lord. For those who continue to bring the light of Christ into places of darkness, calling people to repentance, and teaching Jesus Christ and his saving love, let us pray to the Lord. For the world around us, for the nations in conflict, for those who are victims of hate and violence, and for good and faithful leaders to guide the nations and the people in paths of justice, goodness, and peace, let us pray to the Lord. For all the sick, those who suffer, the grieving in their loss and the dying in their last days, we lift up before you this morning, dear Lord, the family of James Keebler. Also Jeff Oles, hospitalized at North Bay. And now those whom we name before the Lord in the privacy of our own hearts. That they may know healing, comfort, and peace according to God's gracious will, let us pray to the Lord. For our own lives, that we may show forth Christ's light in faithful words of witness and show forth his love in faithful acts of love and mercy to our neighbor, let us pray to the Lord. For wisdom and discernment, that the fading glory of this world may neither tempt nor deceive us from the true glory of Christ crucified and risen, let us pray to the Lord. Fully dependent on your faithfulness, generosity, we entrust all for whom we pray to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We conclude in the middle of page 9 in our service folders as we pray together. Almighty and most merciful God, you have opened our hearts to hear your word, which has saved us from our sin. Strengthen our faith so that we may live confidently under your care and spread the news of your grace in what we say and do. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Receive the blessing of the Lord into your hearts and into your homes. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. But I just won't need to draw your attention to, sitting right there in the middle is a couple whose anniversary is today, Jerry and Colleen Brock, so we congratulate them for that. They get off easy, because we've also got a birthday today. He's sitting in the front row. We've got to sing happy birthday to Steve Thompson, don't we? Huh? I'm sure you will. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Steve. Happy birthday to you. Thank you. Friends, it's going to take me a while before I can get back. It's very difficult for me to function. We'll get some answers this week. But go in peace and serve the Lord.